Are you ready to get started? What is the name of this episode? I didn't even look it up.
The Long Nights.
The Long Nights. Okay, well, this is Hooplecast, and this is a bonus episode to talk about Season 8, Episode 3 of Game of Thrones. I was only going to record one of these for the very last episode, but this feels like a finale in some ways. So I thought, we should probably talk about it, because stuff gets wrapped up. Let's go around the horn and talk just very briefly. Did you just like it on a emotional, visceral level? Like, were you pleased with the episode? Will?
Yeah, I really liked the episode. It was very tense and kind of, this was the episode where you're kind of expecting a lot of people to die, and I was kind of dreading it leading up to it, and I didn't really want to watch it because I was afraid of who might die. So they did a good job of, you know, creating tension. And yeah, I've seen some nitpicks online, which I didn't mind, you know, the stuff that people were nitpicking, but overall, yeah, it's a good episode.
Okay, Steve.
So I watched it twice. So the first time I saw it, had a very raw and emotional feel about it. I was just kind of absorbing it. And I think this episode is very raw and emotional. So I was like the perfect target audience for this. And then I went back and I watched it a second time. And I started to appreciate some of the artistry behind the, you know, the making of the episode, just the sheer scope of the size of it. And it was good to watch it a second time because it tempered some of the raw dislikes that I had initially. So it's a better episode just, you know, as it grows on you.
Oh, see, now this is interesting because I feel like I'm going to have this opposite experience. I felt like when I watched it, like, that's good. I don't really know if I want to ever watch that again. It reminded me of the Lost finale, which, and I'll tell you what I mean by that, is that when watching it, I enjoyed it in the very short afterglow. I liked it. And even the next day, someone said, did you like it? I said, it was good. Or how was it? It was good. But then I started seeing arguments online about all the problems and like, oh yeah, I do see that. Oh, right. That doesn't make sense. Oh, that is disappointing that they did that when they could have done the other thing. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. So I question myself. Is it good the first go around and is that enough? Or does something need to persist and in my memory? Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to like it less the second time around. And we can get into the nitpicky stuff because I think there's a fair bit of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. This whole season, this last season, I came in with like expectations of what I expected to happen. Like I had, you know, I absorbed all the fan theories and came up with some of my own. And even for this episode, I had a picture in my mind what it would be. And because it was not that, I was kind of disappointed at first. But then I was like, you know, what am I doing here? This is a great piece of art. And I should just appreciate it for what it is. And I was telling Will earlier, I was like, we are so spoiled. Why are we nitpicking, you know, every little thing? Just be happy for what it is.
And that's fair, because there hasn't been anything of this scale on television before. And yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And I appreciate it from a production standpoint. But I do feel like there is a divide in the Game of Thrones viewership between the book readers and the show readers, or the show viewers, mm-hmm. in this respect, that the book readers really like texture and lore and mythology and really deep stuff and the occasional, like, rah-rah moment. But I feel like the TV-only viewers who don't really get too deep into the weeds of stuff just, like spectacle. And I like spectacle too, but it's not the reason why I like Game of Thrones. I like it for the characters and scrappy underdogs and political maneuvers and the mythology and all that other stuff. So this really wasn't my episode. I feel like my episodes are going to be the next three, and I'm excited for those. So
Yeah, this episode didn't have a whole lot of nuance and rewatch value. I mean, it is a spectacle, and you just kind of sit back and absorb it. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I also don't think that I would want to watch it too many times again. Maybe like a few scenes I would want to watch again, but there was a lot of, I understand the reasoning. I think they talked about it on the after the episode, where you can't just have like 90 minutes of fighting. You have to, slow it down some and have some breaks in there. But there were some of those breaks or those low points where I was just kind of like, why? Like, what are they doing?
Okay, and again, those lows, slow points are probably my high points. And I'm not trying to be contrarian, but I like the scene with Sansa and Tyrion in the crypt. I like that, like probably the most of any scene in the show. And the whole sequence with Arya being very silent when the kind of turned into a horror film.
Yeah, I did like and that as
everything,
well.
Everything Arya, I loved. Yeah. And when it got very piano-y at the end, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really like that.
Very emotional. But I feel like a lot of my enjoyment on the first and only viewing that I've done so far, it was all based around who's going to live and who's going to die and the kind of tension. And now that I know the outcome, it's not going to be as entertaining. It's what I fear.
Yeah. I've only seen it once. I have gone back and watched that. Dog is barking in his sleep. I've gone back and watched the scene at the end in the Weirwood, but that's about all I've gone back and rewatched.
I've watched some reaction videos, and it's fun watching, like that one bar in Chicago where all these people, for whatever reason, decide that's how they're going to watch the episode, standing in a bar. It's great. Like, I love that they are super into it. And okay. But why? Where the hell did Melisandre come from? Why did the Dothraki run into the dark? Like, totally.
That was one of the things. It's like, that was pretty. Like, why did she? Did she give them that knowing that they were going to? Did she like? Why? I know they're probably emboldened by these flaming swords, and they didn't really know what they were running off into. But
Jorah did see them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they came back, and that's the other, like. Then how did they come back? But the Dothraki didn't, and several times. Oh my God, Brienne's covered with the undead. Well, she's dead. No, she's not. Okay, how did? Huh? There's a lot of like. Wait, what? That's not plausible.
So yeah. With Melisandre showing up right at the beginning, at the end of the first episode of this season, there was a hooded rider that came into town, and I was like, oh, it's Benjen. And 5 seconds later, no, it's Jaime Lannister. And then this episode, here's a hooded rider coming in before the horde. It's like, oh, it's Benjen. It's like, no, it's not. It's the Red Woman.
I'm pretty sure Benjen said.
I was just really excited for Benjen.
I thought it was your friend who was like, his name? Eric? Eric, who was like, I really like that Benjen Stark.
Yeah, Brad picked Benjen right away, and I picked Theon right away. So this was Theon's episode, and I have 10 minutes worth of Theon talk if you want to get into it.
We do like 3 minutes of Theon talk. I found an article, don't know the source, but the premise was that the author asked two military experts. I don't know their bona fides, but they were both asked, did the Army of the Living, did they do a good job planning this defense? And the answer was a resounding no, not even close. And
even
they,
I
mean, when they started getting into like the placement of the trebuchets, like I was like, okay, I'm in the weeds with all of this military strategizing, but like the big takeaways were you don't send in the Dothraki not knowing where they're going. You keep them like on the wings. They said, well, if dragonglass is dangerous to White Walkers and the Whites, why not have like crumbled up dragonglass like on the walls, like so they can't touch it? Like, why not pour it down on them? Why not have burning pitch on them? Like, why not do more recon? That was like the big thing. Like, you don't even know when it's coming and how big the horde is. How about some research?
If only they had winged, you know, vehicles, they could fly over and do some recon. If only.
Uh-huh, fucking Bran. Waste of space, Bran. I know there's a theory where he's, like, orchestrating, like, every, like, he's, like, this big puppet master, and, like, he engineered it to go back in time to give the dagger to, like, whatever, so that he himself would be put, you know, like, there's all this, like, stuff about him actually being the Lord of Light and all this, well, it's all crazy stuff.
Yeah, the more we get into the final season, all those theories kind of go out the window, just because they don't have time to be introducing new things.
If they tried to say that Bran was some, like, really... Because we saw him do that thing with Hodor, but that he has, like, such awareness that he orchestrated everything in the beginning. There's no way they can convey that without some giant, boring exposition dump.
Yep.
I mean, that's what I've been saying. Like, oh, yeah, he gave her the knife knowing that he made sure Theon was going to be there because he knew that Theon needed to hold him off a little longer. And also the Red Woman was orchestrating all of this as well. I guess there were two of them working together. Well, not really working together, but working at the same time.
I like the idea that Melisandre was just, like, sort of grasping, like, she had, like, some of the puzzle pieces, but she didn't know what the picture was, so she thought it was Stannis was the guy to back enough to kill that girl, Shireen, and all the other things she did for them, like, kill Renly, but really it was Jon. She should have been putting her, you know, efforts behind, so she, like, made, like, all these mistakes, but ultimately, she was kind of a hero in that she had this big awareness of who the real threat was. And she was trying to, inspired by the Lord of Light, to be on the side of light, which is a very noble thing. But she kept too many of those cards close to the vest. So for the longest time, we hated her. Maybe she was secretly a goody, just very misguided. And I love that the final... Yes. Sort of like the final image, which at the time was very shocked that that was the last image. But I like that the sad act of I'm okay to die now because I've atoned for my mistakes. That's how I look at it. It's sort of atonement.
Yeah.
I was allowed to live this long to do a thing. I've done the thing. Now I can be what I should be, which is dust to the wind.
Yeah, I saw that she had served her purpose and defeated the Lord of Death, just like when she said that Beric has served his purpose.
Derek. And,
yeah, he died.
So the Red Woman's interesting. I think she had the big picture, right? But she's pretty ineffectual, right? Even the lighting of the swords, while it was a big hero moment, didn't really do anything. There wasn't much payoff. And then the lighting of the moat around the castle, that was good for about 5 minutes until, you know, they figured out a way around. So even like the magic that she produced, these big magical moments, pretty much ineffectual. And same with Jon Snow. Jon Snow was pretty ineffectual for this episode. Like your hero moments didn't come from your heroes. It came from, you know, standing tall and, you know, defense against, you know, impossible odds. I think that the quiet moments of this episode will kind of stand out more than, you know, dragons. Oh, the dragons didn't do anything. They kind of rode around.
Bullshit. they were awful. Danny and John, they should have been
laying waste. Exactly.
Yeah, some of those scenes were a little bit.
Dragons, Ghost. I was so excited to see Ghost back, and then Ghost disappeared 5 minutes in. I was like, come on!
This is too much to do dragons and ghosts, too time-consuming.
So all the magical elements didn't really amount to anything. It was the like the human spirit, the living that kind of, you know, saved the day, but I don't know.
Because Melisandre's magic didn't do shit. They always found a way around the trenches.
I mean, it bought them some time, I guess.
It bought them like 10 more minutes to fill up that hour and a half. I don't know.
It was all very weird, like planning strategy. All right.
Don't let Jon Snow plan strategy.
Well, that's the thing. That's why we have Tyrion and Varys, like, and even Sansa. Like, they were supposed to be the brains, and Arya, Brienne, Jaime, whatever, they're the brawn, and the brains didn't do anything. They didn't plan anything, and they had two kind of slow but still fun episodes to do some planning, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, it looked like they waited to, like, yeah, a few hours before the battle to start.
Is that because they were drinking last episode? You knew they were coming. Like, oh, yeah. What did we forget to do? Oh, shit, plan the battle. It's like in 5 minutes.
We're going to die. I guess we should.
So I kind of not really got into it with a guy on the internet, but we had a difference of opinion. I said that I thought my opinion was that Daenerys, if she wanted to be queen, should have been doing some more behind the scenes leading and not been on the front lines. Because if she dies, then what's the point of her whole arc? So I likened her to a captain on Star Trek that ought to be on the bridge, not part of the away team. Even though I know that's not how television works, and he's like, just admit, because this was in a Sansa thread, where the topic of the thread was something like, say something nice about Sansa. and he started saying, like, well, at least Dany was on the front lines, and I was saying, well, but she shouldn't be there. And he goes, just admit that you don't like Dany and stop arguing disingenuously. And I said, I'm not going to admit that I don't like Dany. I love Dany. I didn't know we were arguing. I thought we were just debating. Like, I just don't.
Yes.
Yeah, I just didn't think.
Sansa did have that one line, like this best thing we can do right now is look truth in the face. She did have that line. They had that same discussion while they were down in the crypts. It's like, what are we doing down here? It's like, we should be doing something. It's like, well, we can't. Yeah, so they had that in the episode.
Well, I feel like they could have thought of something for them to do other than hide and be useless. Useless, like Bran was apparently useless. People are saying that he worked into the ravens and flew out for some other purpose, flew past the dragon and the Night King to the north for some other reason, and no one was really quite sure what that was all about. I can't imagine what is to the north that he needs to see at this point. If indeed they went that direction, I didn't get anything from that.
He sent the ravens to kind of like annoy the Night King to say, "Hey, Night King, I'm waiting for you," and get him moving and get him out of the storm clouds and, you know, in the open. So
he's just talking to Theo, and then all of a sudden, I'm going now. Like, bye, Theo.
Later days. I wondered if they were intentionally losing, like being really sucky strategists to lure him out. Because he's such
I don't think they were purposely. No.
I would hope not, because they killed a lot of people if that's what they did. They're really assholes if that's their strategy. But on the other hand, why is the Night King, if when he's the linchpin, if he dies, everything is end? And, you know, like, he's like the king in chess. You don't throw the king way out in the front of the chessboard.
He's pretty cocky. Probably didn't
he's
think
just a cocky
could.
Motherfucker? But-
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, but he has to know they have dragon glass, right? Or maybe he didn't think anybody would be able to get to him.
Thing is, we don't know much about him, as in zero, and we don't know really all the rules about who he can resurrect and the time frame of anything and the radius of anything. It's all pretty murky.
It's interesting as a the main antagonist for the show. He doesn't say any words. You know, he never says anything. He just stands there, looks menacing.
I'm going to argue with you about being the main antagonist of the show. I think the main antagonist is Cersei Lannister.
Yeah.
Oh, and someone tried to counter my argument about Daenerys actually like being a general by saying, well, she's got to fly that dragon. No, Jon's on one dragon and Bran wargs into the other dragon. He's supposed to warg into the dragon. That's what I said he needed to do when I started reading that first book. And he hasn't done it yet. And it's really pissing me off. He's got three episodes to do it.
At one point, I thought he was going to warg. I thought he had warged into those ravens, like he was going to sacrifice his body. I don't know. I maybe have the three the Night King think that he had won when maybe he really didn't. I don't know. But yeah, Danny, this is weird that, as soon as the Dothraki got hurt, she kind of like ditched the plan. I think they were supposed to be trying to lure. I think the plan was to wait for the Night King to show himself and then they would go after him, which ended up not working anyway because he withstood the fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she essentially did the exact same thing that Jon Snow did at the Battle of the Bastards, where they had a plan, and then first opportunity, they ditched the plan.
Yeah, it must be that Targaryen impulse.
So I came into this episode expecting many, many, many to die. I had a list, a kill sheet. I predicted 13 named characters to die, and I only accurately predicted three of those 13. So a lot of people were breathing at the end of this episode.
Yeah, the body count was pretty low for our main characters, surprisingly so. I really thought we'd get a heartbreaking death, and we, unless you really care about Beric or Derek, according to Will, or Dolores Ed, I don't know. What are we broken up? What are we sad? Who are we saddest about?
I think a lot of people like Theon now. Are there really? I think there are a few people broken up about Theon, but I don't know. I guess they maybe have to save a few now. Since I watched, one thing was, I'm really glad that they ended the storyline this episode. A lot of people were predicting that Winterfell would fall, and then it would, this whole story would bleed over into later in the season.
Yeah, that was my prediction, that they would retreat from Winterfell. The first battle with the Night King, they would lose, and they would have to retreat south and fight him again at some point this season. But I guess, get that over with now and have three episodes with Cersei.
I'm so happy that they did that. And it really, I know it's certain people's opinions, and they're fine, they're entitled to them, but it's just remarkable how different their opinions are from mine. People saying that everything after this is going to be anticlimactic, that this should have been the finale or the episode before the finale, and now it's going to feel like a real slog, or like, what's the point? I'm like, the point, like, that is my least favorite storyline, and I am so glad it's over. Like, I understand that it was important for that to exist, to bring characters and plots together, but it's not what I like about the show. It doesn't. This isn't character drama for me, because the Night King is just a personality-less, thing to conquer. He's not interesting.
No, you're right. We've had two episodes now at Winterfell, exclusively at Winterfell. I want to see what Cersei's been up to. And I've been wrong this entire season about, expectations, so I have an open mind for the last three episodes. They can do whatever they want at this point. I feel like a soldier at Winterfell who's, survived the Great War. Everything after this is kind of gravy, right?
I want to go to Braavos and watch that theater troupe put on a play. That's what I want. I just want to chill in Essos. I want to go to that butterfly island. I want to go to an episode with Missandei frolicking on that butterfly island.
I hear Bear Island is uninhabited right now. You can take a castle.
And all those northern houses are probably just gone.
I'm hoping that the last episode is a real, just like, coda for the entire series, and we don't really have much plot or conflict in the final episode. I want it to be just sort of like an unwinding, checking in with characters as they sort of start the next chapter of their lives. It doesn't need to be a flash forward, but I guess it could be.
Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, I wouldn't mind if, maybe not. Like, could the final confrontation with Cersei be in the beginning of the episode? No, I think it should be the next to last.
Yeah, the next to last.
And I wouldn't mind seeing like a brief glimpse, you know, maybe like 100 years in the future or something. I don't know. Everybody's driving cars and on computers.
So her only army really are the Golden Company from Essos, right? She's kind of got a Lannister army, sort of, kind of, but she's really put all of her eggs in the mercenary basket, right?
It's probably more than the Northerners have right now.
Yeah, but if they all pool their money, they could say, can we buy you, please, instead of her?
Yeah.
And come over to our side. I don't know. What did the gold
company's never broken a contract. That's what they're known for.
Contract law. Yeah. The hero of the show is a lawyer who finds a loophole in that contract. What did you guys think about Arya being the one that killed the Night King?
Oh, go ahead, Will.
I thought it was badass. I saw on the after the episode where they said they've known for 3 years who it was going to be. And they were hoping that you would have lost track of Arya and forgotten her by that point, because it had been a while since we had seen her, and I had completely forgotten about her, because leading up to that, they've got you so enthralled and involved in these other characters who are close to dying. And I also saw our interview with Kit Harington saying that when he found out it was going to be Arya, he was pissed because he thought it should have been. Yeah, he was kind of joking and laughing, but, you know, he's the one who should have killed him.
Oh, he's had enough to do.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder where Arya came from. You just see her, like, jumping through the air and magically, you know, appear, almost like she teleported in or something. It would have been nice. You know, I had a theory where she would have taken on the face of one of the undead and kind of shuffled in and got in close and then made her attack. I think that would have been, you know, just have that 10-second shot of this random undead character kind of shuffling about.
Where'd that fourth dragon come from? I didn't realize there were four dragons. Wait a minute, that's not a dragon, it's a little girl.
I didn't notice when I watched it live, but I did notice when I went back and rewatched that scene, like right before you see, like, you know, some of the White Walkers watching, and one of them hair kind of lifts up, like, you know, like wind blew by.
Yeah, she's so fast that, yeah, you know, strands of hair are disturbed. She could have been hiding up in the tree and maybe dropped down from the tree. I would have been okay with that, but I don't know. Just kind of, when you think about it, you're like, what? Where did she come from? But I do like that she was the one that took on the Night King. I didn't expect it in this episode, so it was a surprise for me. So it was good.
I didn't expect it either. I liked it, though. This was a storyline. This was an arc that paid off. For all those people complaining about how much time she spent training, well, here you go. It's good that she
it was
did.
All for this.
Huh?
Yep.
A lot of people say they thought this was the end to the, you know, White Walker saga was anticlimactic, but I don't think so. It was the first scene in the first episode, and there are times where we didn't, you know, hear from them at all for like a, you know, really long time, but still. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm happy it's over.
So I will say the one theory that would not happen now, you know, one of the theories that I had was that the Night King was going to take his dragon to Old Town and burn down the Citadel, right? Kind of destroying the history of man. That was my prediction for this episode. The Army of the Undead would attack Winterfell, but the Night King wouldn't make an appearance there. He would be off somewhere else doing some kind of destruction, have like a bigger world impact than just a attack on Winterfell. But we're not going to get that now, and that was just, you know, my theory in my head, so doesn't really need to happen now.
Now, you saying that reminds me of the scene where Bran said that the reason why the Night King wants to come after him is because he's like the Wikipedia of Westeros. Yeah. Like all of humankind, all of Westeros history has been like, he's cloud storage. He's got it all backed up. And if they kill him, there's like all of human memory is erased. or something. Yeah. But of course, you got those maesters in that citadel keeping making writing books.
But they would be next.
You know, they probably feel really shitty hearing Bran say that he's more important than all the work that they're doing. is my point. If I was a maester and I heard that, I would be like, oh, thanks. That's
well, they will never know.
Thanks for saying I'm irrelevant. I appreciate that.
So, you guys have favorite line of the episode? There wasn't much dialogue, I'll tell you that, but any favorite lines?
Well, my favorite line was "not today, motherfucker," but that was me who said that.
My favorite line is nonverbal. You know, the death of Beric and Jorah Mormont, when they both died, they didn't have a final word, some kind of witty remark, no, I love you, or, you know. They just died. And I think that's really realistic. Where people are, when you get stabbed 30 times, you don't have time to come up with some kind of last remark. You just end up dying. And I really appreciated that they did that, even though it kind of didn't have much closure to, you know, Danny who was sitting there, or, you know, why did he die? I guess the red woman, you know, kind of explained it for him, but, I just appreciate that no words were spoken. And I think that's realistic.
Guess we forgot about Lyanna Mormont. Yeah. I like her, but I don't know. I guess I'm not as attached to her as a lot of people are.
She became a meme more than she became a character. I like her a lot. She's, you know, a plucky little pistol. It sucks that she died, but obviously putting her in this battle and having her kill that giant was so fan servicey.
Yep.
That I mean it again, that was one of the things, like I loved it when it happened, but I am going to probably hurt myself rolling my eyes watching this episode a second time because of stuff like that. It's great in the moment. Then you think about it and you realize that's pretty stupid.
Well, if you look at it as that's the human spirit, you know, staring death in the face and screaming, you know, and, you know, just giving it your all, even when, you know, all is lost. Mm-hmm. I mean, she personifies, you know, the spirit of the episode. And I think there's more to see than just this meme that even her dying breath was like kind of a meme. But
I mean, we saw plenty of, oh, when her parents have nightmares, they crawl into her bed. You know, when Chuck Norris goes to sleep, he checks in the closet for Lyanna Mormont. You know, it's like that kind of thing. Like, we get it. She's tough. She's a tough girl.
She's a tough girl. I would have liked to seen her live just so she can build, you know, Bear Island and the Mormont family.
Yeah.
Because I expected Jorah to die. I didn't expect her to die. That was a bit of a surprise. And I think that's because I wanted her to live. I wanted her to, you know, be the head of the house for many, many years to come.
I would have liked that as well. I also think that there's another kind of strength, which is the strength of, like, being a survivor, the survivor's guilt kind of strength. What happens when you see that all the North is decimated and all your bannermen are dead and that your house is in ruins and you're still alive. Like, that takes a certain kind of strength of character. And I wanted to know, does she have that kind of strength? I don't know. We'll never find out. I also had a prediction list because I went to a friend's house. And before the episode, she gave us homework, basically. She's like, here's a sheet with 40 characters on it. Check off who's going to live, who's going to die. Also, we're all putting down $10. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm doing this then. So basically, as people lived and died, I'm like running through my head. What did I put for that guy? Oh no. Oh yes. I think I'm good. I want to win a contest now. I'm so distracted by that.
I predicted everyone in the crypts would have died. They all would have been wiped out. And as far as I know, no one of note died down there. Everyone survived. Gilly, Little Sam, you know, Varys. Everyone who was down there, even when all was lost, you know, like you mentioned, Tyrion and Sansa were there, kind of like, all right, we're either going to make our last stand. You know, when she pulled out that knife, I kind of thought that she was going to commit suicide.
I kind of got that feeling too. Only sort of like if it's going to happen, I'm not going to allow myself to be undead.
Right? I think that would have been pretty powerful. Like, you open up that crypt and, oh yeah, Sansa committed suicide.
Oops. You know. We should have checked. We should have told her the battle was going well.
Because she saw how the battle was going up on the parapets and retreated and saw that it wasn't getting any better. And, you know, if anyone was going to do it, it would have been her.
I wanted her to do a callback to the Battle of Blackwater and say, I think we're in for a little bit of a rape.
Mm. Mm.
No one remembers that. I'm the only one who remembers drunk Cersei.
So you mentioned drunk Cersei. I mean, we can kind of predict going forward. You know, if there's going to be a battle against Cersei, I don't think she would give anyone the pleasure of, you know, killing her. I think she would take her own life, you know, poison. That's how I see the end going. I don't know. At this point, I can't really see how the next three episodes are going to shape up. But if there is any kind of confrontation, you know, that Blackwater episode kind of hints to what Cersei would do.
Sometimes when these pathological, narcissistic, awful, horrible human beings have power, they just don't want to let it go. And you just, you pray no one meddles in your elections in 2020.
Cersei could probably go back to Lannisport or wherever they are and live the rest of her life there, but I don't think she would want to give it up. Jamie may. Ooh. Either Jamie's going to kill her or he's going to advocate for sparing her.
What if this is like a situation where she somehow escapes, like slips out the back door, and they never catch her?
She goes into exile in Essos.
Yeah, you see a little title card 6 months later, and she's like, you know, working a shop somewhere, oysters, clams, and cockles or something.
She's there with the mountain trying to be inconspicuous.
Do we have anything else to say about this episode 3? The long night.
It was a very long night.
It was 82 minutes. Is that how long it was?
Like 82 minutes, yeah. The longest battle ever filmed, either on film or on television.
Whoopee.
The only thing that comes close is the Battle of Helm's Deep in The Lord of the Rings, which was 40 minutes. About half that.
This was more entertaining than that. I hated that. That was my low point for that movie franchise, which I think everybody forgot about. Such a big deal at the time, and now it's been eclipsed by stuff like this.
Yep, it's been eclipsed. Wow. My final remark would be that Theon, my hero Theon, is the only one to stand up against the Night King. You know, he went hand-to-hand combat with the Night King. He lost, of course, but I think he's the only one in the history of man that can claim that.
Sean tried to, but couldn't get close enough.
My boy Theon.
Yeah, I mean, then Arya. But up until that point, maybe.
That's right.
Maybe thousands of years ago, somebody did. Because they did beat back the White Walkers at some point.
Yeah, stupid decision, but it was, I don't know, it was in slow-mo. You know, you had the piano playing.
The piano.
It was, you know, to name drop another, you know, battle movie, you know, Glory. It was the end of Glory where they pick up the, you know, the flag and they run into, you know, suicide, basically. But, you know.
I did watch the beginning of the behind the scenes for this episode, which was like a 40-minute documentary. And I did appreciate that they acknowledged that battle fatigue is a thing as a viewer. And that they structured it to have high points, not low points as a pejorative, but action, slower stuff, character stuff. And that they structured it in like three acts: suspense, horror action. Like, I appreciate that they thought about that because I wasn't bored when watching it. But no, I'm just not sure how I'm going to feel on a rewatch because it's so long.
Those 82 minutes go by real fast. I mean, I did not feel bored at all.
It helps that there are so many characters of so many different personalities in this location, which is different from when the Wildlings assaulted the Night's Watch, which was like its own almost an entire battle episode as well. And it's one of the episodes that I saw in the theater when they had a two episode event, special event, and that was the first one. And to me, like the Night's Watch, the Wildlings, Snoozeville. This is much better than that.
I think I would give the previous episode, the Night of the Seven Kingdoms, you know, episode two, a little higher marks than this one. I like the more nuanced character driven kind of things in that episode. But I would still give Long Night high praise. I mean, this was pretty amazing battle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, we can talk more about Game of Thrones episodes 4, 5, and maybe a little bit of 6. I know hopefully we'll do another podcast when the season ends. We can talk about those other episodes, though, on the Facebook group, which is just go on Facebook and search for Hooplecast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.